141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Robbie McCrory set to leave Rangers for Kilmarnock. Nicholas Coon said he'd love to see Paolo Bernardo back at Celtic, with reports of a fee being agreed, and Sam Lammers is left behind with Rangers in the Netherlands for pre-season. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon DL.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be back, Andrew, after our travels in Germany. And I'm looking forward to the new season starting. Obviously, competitive football starts at the weekend. Premier Sports Cup, am I right in saying that? So a lot of teams now well into their preparation for the start of the new season.
Yeah, first competitive action of the season comes up this weekend. Is this your return to competitive action? Because you had a couple of weeks off after Germany?
Yeah, I certainly needed it. When you're rooming with Wilson for 12 days, it certainly takes it out of you. So I needed a well-earned...
I wonder what he's saying. Well, I know what he's saying because he said it on this show.
Listen, there'll be a few stories told at the start of the new season. I'm keeping them up my sleeve. But I've got to say, it's been interesting just watching what's developing. A lot of teams try to get their squads together. I'm sure Celtic fans are a bit concerned the fact that they've... Goalkeeper, especially for me. Joe Hart went out of the building, a month or so ago. I'm sure they're obviously got things in planned for, you know, the start of the new season, because they can't get into the season without a number one. It'll be interesting to see over the coming weeks what Celtic do in the transfer window. Will Rangers keep adding? Who will leave the buildings? But as I say, I'm looking forward to the new season, and I think we're in for a cracker this year.
Yeah, plenty of transfer speculation to keep us ticking over tonight. Robbie McCrory looks set to leave Rangers. The 26-year-old looks to be on his way to Kilmarnock. Rangers fans, is that the right decision? Would you rather see him stay at Ibrox? Nicholas Coon has been speaking today, talking about Paolo Bernardo. He's hoping to see Paolo Bernardo back at Celtic. Reports from Portugal saying that a fee has been agreed of around $4.2 million. Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Gordon mentioned the goalkeeping situation. I just wonder whether Celtic fans are feeling as if that one could get sorted out pretty soon, or whether it's going to drag on. Reports of Peter Vindal Janssen, who is the Sparta Prague goalkeeper, talk that it could be a fee of surplus of £8 million that Sparta Prague are looking at. Is that a deal you'd want to see happen, Celtic fans? Is that a deal you'd rather not see? And also Sam Lammers being left behind for Rangers' pre-season tour of the Netherlands. Fans of any other clubs, I've seen plenty of business being done, some outgoings at St Mirren. I've seen some incomings as well at other clubs. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. You would expect, I think, Gordon, that over the next couple of weeks is when the transfer business will really start to ramp up. Some teams have been very busy already, but there's still some real key business to be done.
Well, there certainly are. You touched on it there. Celtic, I think their first priority is to replace Joe Hart. £8 million for a goalkeeper is a lot of money, so you've got to do your homework. You've got to make sure you bring in the right type that's going to hit the ground running. But I'm sure Celtic are already well down the road with new signings coming in. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers has identified a few targets, and sometimes it just takes that little bit of time to get them over the line, Andrew. And then you look at Rangers, one or two players, obviously they've got in, one or two players looking to leave as well. Other clubs try to booster their squads, which they're going to need, because obviously it's a long, long, hard season.
0141 951 1025. That's the beauty of these summer shows. You can pick the talking points. Maybe there's something that's been playing on your mind for the last few weeks. Maybe there's something you're thinking looking ahead. Give us a call on that number, 0141 951 1025, and we'll get you on air. Of course, you can tweet us at ClydeSSB as well. We'll start with that story today. It looks as if confirmation is set to come, whether that's going to be this evening, whether that's going to be tomorrow. Robbie McCrory looks set to leave Rangers for Kilmarnock. Did that always seem like it was going to happen this summer? It was only last year he signed a new contract. It looked as if he might stay at Rangers, but with Jack Butland being the undisputed number one at Rangers, Liam Kelly coming in, I think the Liam Kelly deal was probably, you know, put in place because Rangers expected Robbie McCrory to leave. Is he a player that just needs first team football at this point?
Yeah, 100%. And you know that Butland, unless he gets injured, has got to be number one goalkeeper. Obviously, it suits Liam Kelly at the stage of his career, going there, getting a good move from Motherwell. His wages will obviously rise. So McCrory had to look, and you look at his career, he doesn't want to just be a number two all his days. He's going to Kilmarnock. He's going under a terrific manager who will obviously give him every opportunity. And the boy just, like everybody will tell you in football, you want to play. You don't want to train every single day and then at the weekend, if it's a Saturday game or a Sunday game, whatever it may be nowadays, and you're sitting on the bench, you don't get any action. It's a great opportunity for him. Liam Kelly's in, Scottish international as well, so he goes down the pecking order a little bit. And I think it's a good move, not just for him, but for Rangers as well.
Goalkeepers have a long career, and you would expect that Robbie McCrory probably has 10 plus years left of his goalkeeping career. Do you think he'll feel at the moment that he maybe just hasn't played as much football as he would have wanted to at 26 years old? I think having come through the youth academy at Rangers, he's only made 7 first team appearances for them, has had a few loan spells. He was at Queen of the South, he was at Livingston, but if he's got ambitions to, you know, go far in the game, we've seen that Steve Clarke is definitely well aware of him. He's brought him into Scotland squads before, not been capped yet, but will he feel like this is the move that can really kickstart his career?
Yeah, 100%. And he's going to a team that had a terrific season. They've got a very experienced manager. He had to go and play games. If you mentioned it there, 7 games and he's sitting there at 26. And the one thing about the lad is he's a very talented goalkeeper. Let's not get away from that. So I'm not surprised. I think a lot of people could have sat there and looked at the fact that you're playing with Rangers, you could be backup goalkeeper, you'd probably be earning more money at Rangers than you would Kilmarnock. But when you look back in your career, you want to play as much football as you possibly can, first team football, and I think it's a terrific move for him.
I wonder if you'll look at the example of Lewis Mayo, who was similar in the way that, you know, he came through the youth academy at Rangers, really hadn't played any first team games at all, had loan spells at the likes of Partick Thistle, he was at Dunfermline as well, then went to Kilmarnock, had a loan spell initially there, but then signed permanently last summer and had a fantastic season at Kilmarnock, you know, was consistently one of their best players across the season. He'll maybe look at that and think, you know what, that's the type of thing I want to emulate. Go to another team in the same division, but really go and prove myself and play week in, week out and show what I can do.
I think he'll have a plan to say, right, OK, I can go to Kilmarnock, be number one goalkeeper. And if he performs at the age of 26 and he performs really well, that's not his last move. You know, he could all of a sudden end up at another big club. It just depends on him. But at least he's given himself opportunity to catch the eye, go and play first team football, go and train every day with a purpose. And as I keep going back to it, I think it's a good move for both.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. We do prefer hearing from you on the phone. So that number is 01419511025. Just looking at the signing of Liam Kelly as well. Is that one that surprised you leaving Motherwell? Did you expect him to go somewhere that he'd be guaranteed first team football? You know, I don't think anyone's under any disillusions. He'll be second choice to Jack Butland as long as Jack Butland is there, you would guess. But is it surprised you that leaving Motherwell that he's maybe not gone to a club that he'd be guaranteed first team football, or certainly in a better frame for it?
I think Kelly's in a different situation. He's played a lot of football. He's in the Scotland squad. He's went there to challenge Butland. Obviously, Butland is a better goalkeeper and will be the number one. He may get games in the cups because that's what managers tend to do. But I think if you're honest about it and look at the full situation, I think the financial package maybe just swayed him as well. And I don't blame him for that because, as I say, he is different from McCrory. McCrory's 26, not played a lot of football. Liam Kelly has. He's maybe just looking at the financial situation and thinking, right, OK, I'll take my chances. He's at a big, big club. As I say, if anything had to happen to Butland, it'd be up to him to get in there. But I can, football wise, yeah, you can look at it and say, okay, you're going to play number two to Jack Butland, but financially I think it's a good move for the lad.
Can that be a tough one to balance out? Because obviously players will think of the financial aspect of it. Location's always a big one as well. Maybe he wasn't wanting to move away from where he's currently living as well. But when you are in the Scotland side, because he's been in squads consistently, he's had a Scotland cap, he was maybe on that trajectory where he was feeling that he could get more caps in the future, could that potentially hinder him going to a club where playing as much football?
I think so. He's probably thought about that as well. Look, I don't think Liam Kelly had the best of seasons last year. I think he went through a spell, he was really come under pressure from the Motherwell supporters. We get calls in to the show about his performances. But the one thing about Liam Kelly is he's a good goalkeeper. As I say, he's got a right few games under his belt. He's in the Scotland squad. It may just hamper that chances of kicking on to be Scotland's number one. But I totally understand financially for anyone now, if they had to look at it in their career, as I say, he will get games, he is at a big club, and he'll be working with Jack Butland, and that can only improve him as well.
01419511025 on the phones. John is a Rangers fan up first in Maryhill. John, how are you tonight?
Fine, yourselves?
Yep, all good, all good. What are you thinking?
Disappointed wee Robbie McCrory is leaving Rangers, I'll say. Jack Butland is probably a better goalkeeper, I'm not saying he isn't, but there's no point in having a youth system if you're not going to give your boys a chance. Spending all that money, then you could be, they have maybe your youth system, put it towards transfers or whatever, give the boys an opportunity.
Well, they did give him a new contract, so they obviously thought that he had very good talent. I mean, the boy has got very good talent. But it comes a time that for a goalkeeper himself, for a lad himself, he's got to look at it and think, right, OK, Jack Butland is a top-quality goalkeeper. And if Jack Butland's fit, Jack Butland's going to play. It's as simple as that. So he's maybe just looked at that, sat down and spoke to the manager and decided, look, I've had 7 games here since, you know, I've come through the ranks as a young player and then into the first team squad. You've got to go and play. Everybody will tell you, you've got to go and play football. You can't get to the end of your career or 3 or 4 years down the line and look back and think, I didn't play enough football. Okay, I earned a couple of quid, but I didn't play enough football. And he's still got another chance. If he goes to Kilmarnock, I said it earlier, goes to Kilmarnock and plays very well and does well, it doesn't mean to say Kilmarnock's his last move. He can jump on again at bigger and better things. So I think for a lad, it's a terrific move for him.
Supporters love to see one of their own come through the youth system and make an impact and being given chances. Just how much tougher is it when it's a goalkeeper, when it is just one position on the pitch? Well, you've already got an established number one. It's not really an area that managers like to rotate either. It's probably the toughest area on the park for a player to break into, isn't it?
Basically, if you're looking at the situation with Jack Butland, it'll be the same with Liam Kelly. You're actually sitting there thinking, right, the only opportunity I'm going to get, unless Butland goes right off the floor, and I can't see that happening, I think he's too good a goalkeeper, if he gets injured, and we don't wish that on MD, but if you're a goalkeeper and you're a backup, and you're back up to a goalkeeper with the talent that Jack Butland's got, you're obviously looking, right, OK, if he goes right off form or he gets injured, it may be my opportunity to get in there and show what I can do. Even if Liam Kelly gets the cup games and he's outstanding, when it comes to the big important games, he's not going to be in goals. You know, the manager's not going to make that decision because Butland is number one goalkeeper. So, yeah, it's difficult. But I agree with John. I think that nowadays that you look at big clubs and our two biggest clubs, you do like to see a bit of homegrown talent coming through. Somebody that you've looked at for years and watched them develop through the system. It tends to be a bit harder now because teams with the money that they've got, especially Celtic, they'll go out there, look, they're talking about a goalkeeper, £8 million and whatever. So it does sort of block that avenue. I'd like to see more young players coming through, but I can totally understand managers nowadays. You don't get a lot of time, you've got to get results, and sometimes it stops that pathway.
John, just generally, how are you feeling about Rangers' transfer business so far in this window?
I think it's actually quite good, man, considering that normally we're signing people you can't move on us. There's no potential in the transfer fee. Also, I think that's what's been quite a disappointment for Rangers in the past, especially Celtic. They've been doing it for years.
John, can I ask you a question, senior Rangers fan? I was looking today. Sam Lammers, you know, he didn't have the best time, let's be honest about it, and I think a lot of Rangers fans made up their mind about it. But he went out on loan. I think he scored 11 goals, am I right in saying that? He played as a centre-forward, and apparently he was terrific. Did you make your mind up, or were you a bit disappointed that he's not been taken to Holland, you know, maybe giving another opportunity under the new manager?
I think it might just be the sort of style in Scottish football just didn't suit him, because no disrespect to the guy, man. When I was watching him, also at the start of the season, he was hopeless, man.
Yeah, I agree with that, but what I'm saying is he's went out there and he's found his cell again. Okay, you're talking about Scottish football, I know what you're saying, but if you come back with that bit of confidence, you've been playing every week, the fans over there probably loved him, you're scoring goals left, right and centre, I think he'd be a bit disappointed to say to the manager, look, give me one more chance.
Yeah, because he said himself in interviews when he was over in the Netherlands that, you know, he wasn't given a chance at Rangers in his natural position. Mm-hmm. He wasn't played as an out-and-out striker. We quite often saw him play as a number 10, playing in behind. Do you think he's deserving of an opportunity John in, you know, that central striking role, or, you know, do you feel you're just quite happy to see him move on this summer if Rangers can
I'd rather Rangers cutting ties with him, man, when he is also just after a bit of hot form, maybe get your money back potentially, because you could say the same maybe Mikey Johnson. He done it at West Brom, he done it at Standard Liège and all, came back to Scotland, done nothing. Just maybe the sort of style didn't suit the boy. Also, people heavy barging into him and stuff like that, it's a bit rougher up here.
That's a fair point, because he certainly didn't look the part when he was here. He had maybe one or two games. I remember, I think he scored a terrific goal at Dens Park against Dundee. So he had that in his locker. But I thought it was a bit surprising, especially in the centre forward area. What was up with taking him over there, having a look at him, and then making a second opinion?
Is that a big surprise to you that, I mean, the reports today are that he's not travelled to the Netherlands at all, he's been left behind training with the B team? A player that scored, what, 10 goals in half a season in the Dutch league. If he was a player that you hadn't already looked at up close, then that might be the type of player that Rangers could be looking at this summer. But because they've seen him up close already, Philip Clement clearly is thinking that he's not a player that's in his future plans.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised. I think, obviously, it tells you that the Rangers manager's probably made up his mind that he's not going to play any further part going forward in his career at Rangers, and they have to move him on. John makes a good point. If you're ever going to sell him, now's the time, because people will have noticed what he's done since he went on loan, scoring goals, playing his natural position. So they might want to be just looking to say, right, okay, we need to cash in. But I just go back to it, for the sake of another seat on the plane, take him over there, you know, work with him during the day, see what he's got in the games. Look, I know a lot of Rangers fans made up their mind about him, but sometimes just going out on loan, coming back, bit of confidence, playing the games that he's played, scoring the goals, it could have been a different story.
Well, thank you very much to John. Keep those calls coming, Rangers fans. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Nicholas Kuhn as well. He's speaking about hoping to make a bigger impact this season. He's speaking about Paulo Bernardo, hoping to see him back at Celtic Park as well. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025, while I tell you about this, because it is that time of year when you're thinking, what can you do to keep the kids occupied during the summer holidays? Well, why not head over to Clyde1.com? We've got tons of prizes and offers available for local attractions so you can keep the kids entertained. One of them is the Scottish Football Museum, which is based at Scotland's National Stadium, Hampden Park. You've been there as well, Gordon Dier.
I've done a tour there a few years ago. I took some American kids that I was coaching over here, and we took them down to Hampden, went through the museum. It's absolutely fantastic. It really is. I'd recommend that to anybody. The guy that I can't remember his name that does the tours, he was terrific. Everything about it, and everybody come back and really enjoyed it, so worthwhile a visit.
We promise your kids won't have to be coached by Gordon DL, but you can learn about Scotland's footballing history from the 19th century right through to the present day. You can walk through the turnstiles from former Hampden grounds, you can sit in the original dressing room, and you can see the oldest national trophy in world football, the Scottish Cup. It's just a few years younger than Hugh Keevan's as well. It's a great day out as well. You can see the sights of the museum. You can enjoy the stadium tour followed by coffee and lunch in the Hampden Cafe. So head over now to the School's Out for Summer page at Clyde1.com. Click the Scottish Football Museum tab. You can find out all about the museum, and you can nominate a primary school of your choice to receive a full class visit to the stadium as well.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, brought to you by UK Debt Expert. In the time it takes to play a match, 145 people will have asked them for help with their finances. Their free debt advice has helped over 250,000 people and counting. They understand debt and the reasons behind it. That means you're guaranteed practical advice and an understanding shoulder to lean on if you're struggling with debt you can't control. Talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Head over to ukdebtexpert.co.uk for more information, and keep your calls coming on 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, we're about to hear from Nicholas Kuhn. He's been speaking today, so we want to know what you're thinking about all things Celtic. We'll stick with Rangers at the moment, though, because Billy is a Rangers fan in Clydebank. Billy, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for putting me through for the call.
No problem.
Good evening, Gordon. I hope everything's okay with you.
Yes, everything's fine, Billy.
Good man, good man. Obviously, we've been speaking about the goalkeeper's situation, I think the biggest mistake Rangers have made so far is signing Liam Kelly. I just don't rate the guy as a Rangers keeper. And Ross McCrory,
Robbie,
I know he was number two and he wanted the number one position, but so far through this transfer window, we've heard rumours that Jack Butland might be leaving. If he does leave, does that mean Liam Kelly is going to be our number one goalkeeper for Rangers? It's just no good enough.
I mean, it's all hypotheticals, Gordon, but you would wonder if a bid did come in for Jack Butland that Rangers couldn't turn down, would they then go for another number one? Would it be a case of Liam Kelly being promoted? But at the moment, Liam Kelly will be Rangers' number two goalkeeper. There's no doubt about that. Billy's saying, you know, he doesn't rate him as a Rangers goalkeeper, but to get a guy who is a Scotland international goalkeeper, has been in pretty much every Scotland squad recently, played, you know, the last three seasons or so for Motherwell in the top flight, it's still quite a high quality of second choice goalkeeper, isn't it?
Yeah, I can understand people coming on and being a bit bewildered about, you know, the Liam Kelly situation, because I don't think, and I think if you ask Liam Kelly, I don't think he had his best season last year, you know, but I think that Liam Kelly is a very good goalkeeper. I really do. I can't see him, you know, if Butland had to leave, and it would need to be a big offer that Rangers couldn't refuse, because you can't let a goalkeeper of that quality go. But if Butland had to go, then obviously they're left with one goalkeeper. If Robbie McCrory goes to Kilmarnock, which we expect him to do, then they would need to look for another goalkeeper and bring in someone. But I think that Liam Kelly's there as a number two, and I think he's a good number two, no doubt about that. I don't think he would let you down. He's, as you quite rightly say, he's been in every Scotland squad as well. Good experience. But I don't think he's the number one. I think he's just there. And I think the reason that Liam Kelly's went to Rangers and decided to do that at this stage of his career, it was down to finances for me.
Yeah, a guy of that experience, Billy, that, you know, has been playing regularly, has been in Scotland squads. Do you not think, you know, in his current role, that he's quite an able deputy? Seen over the years, Rangers have had the likes of John McLaughlin, who you'd say is maybe quite similar, had been in Scotland squads, wasn't, you know, playing too much for Scotland, but was a regular elsewhere, had a season at Hearts, didn't he? Do you not feel that he's the type of player that Rangers should be looking at to fill that number two role?
Basically, no. I know what you're saying about Scotland and all the rest of it, but, I mean, as Gordon said, last year, Motherwell didn't even finish in top six. He's been with Livingston or the rest of it. And he's just no proved himself to me.
So who would be your ideal candidate then for a backup goalkeeper? I know you've said, you know, you would keep Robbie McCrory, but I think it was pretty clear that he felt it was time to move on because he's not played a lot of football. What is the profile of goalkeeper that you would expect Rangers to have as a backup keeper?
I know everybody's is going to go daft about it, but the Hearts keeper?
Xander Clark,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, what are the big differences really between Xander Clark and Liam Kelly? I think people would say that Xander Clark probably had a better season last season than Liam Kelly, but they're two players that are in a very similar position. Yes, Hearts finished higher up the table, had a better defensive record than Motherwell, I think. But, you know, both getting in Scotland squads. Is there a massive gap, between Liam Kelly and Xander Clark?
No, I don't think so. I think Xander Clark, you're right in what you said there, Andrew. I think last season when he got his opportunity, I think he had a very good season, i.e. that's why he was called up into the Scotland squad as well. But look, I think that if you put an informed Liam Kelly in and he's playing well, I think he's as good as number two you'll get. I really do. I don't think he'd let you down. I always go back to it and say, yes, he didn't have his finest season, but he is a very good goalkeeper. And whether you take Xander Clark, it'd be interesting to hear, you know, what your opinion is. Would you take Xander Clark if you had the opportunity, or Liam Kelly? I totally agree with you. I don't think there's a massive difference between them.
Billy, what else are you looking for Philip Clement to do in this transfer window?
I would love to see another forward coming in, another striker.
Is that a starting striker? Is that a striker to just complement the players that are already there?
Not a starting striker. Because Dessers was good last year. I honestly, you can't fault him for the goals that he scored, but I just don't think he's the finished article. And obviously, Shanklin may be the man that I'd be looking for.
I do wonder about Danilo this season, because he's a player that we didn't see a lot of in a Rangers shirt last season because of injuries. He had that facial injury, and then I think he had a knee injury. He was out for a lot of the season. You know, Cyril Dessers scored, what was it, 22 goals last season, but of course had his critics. Hamza Igamani is a young striker that's been brought in from Morocco. How do you see the Rangers striking role playing out this season, Gordon?
I agree there. If you had an opportunity, I think that a terrific signing would have been Shanklin. I think he's at that stage of his career that, especially in Scotland, and he showed it last year with Hearts, he was absolutely terrific. And if you give him the opportunity, he'll score a lot of goals for you. Dessers is a funny one, because you change your mind about him week in, week out. You just go for one game to the other. You know, we'll have Rangers fans on here if he plays well and scores a couple of goals, talking about how good he is, and then the following week, they're not wanting him in the team. But as you say, he get 20-odd goals. Danilo obviously has come through the injury, so you'd need to see how he starts the season as well. But if I was Rangers and I was looking to strengthen and looking to make a real impact, I would have tried to get Shanklin, because I think he would score a barrel load of goals for Rangers, and if he went to Celtic.
Could you see that deal happening? Because there was a lot of external talk about it in January. It didn't seem as if any of the talk was really coming from the club, that there really seemed to be any concrete interest in him at that point. He's now got, what, 1 year left on his deal, which may mean he might be slightly cheaper than he was in January. But do you think it's actually a deal that could well happen, or do Rangers look at the moment as if they're maybe looking for a different profile of player? Or would someone need to move on? Would it need to be a Cyril Dessers would move on? There's reported interest in him before a Lauren Shanklin comes in.
I think Rangers and Celtic are both in the same boat. As much as the fans want to see players coming in, Andrew, they've got massive squads, and you need to sort of trim the squads. You need to get people out the door as well. Trim the squad, free up some wages, free up some money. I know Celtic are cash rich, I've heard all that before, but it's still the same. You don't want these players hanging about the club. You need to move them on. So sometimes that's the hardest point. I think if Shanklin's deal was going to be done, I think it's a better opportunity now than what it was back in January. I don't think that was ever going to be the situation. You're right, he's got to sit there. He's got 1 year left of the Hearts contract. He's been offered mega money from Hearts, as much as he possibly can. But I think that Shanklin will be looking to move on from there. And I keep going back to it. I just think that in Scottish football especially, I think he'll score goals for fun, because I think he's a talented player.
Well, thank you to Billy. You can be up next by giving us a call on 01419511025. Celtic fans, maybe you're interested in this, because Nicholas Kuhn has been speaking today. Celtic have a friendly tomorrow away to Queen's Park, and then they head off for their US tour. He's been speaking about himself, first of all. He says Celtic fans are yet to see the best of him. However, he hopes a full pre-season will help him hit top form.
I think we're all happy to be back. It was good to have some days off, but now we start focusing on the next season. Yeah, I think for the team, it's going to be the same targets as last season. So we want to win every trophy there is. And for me personally, of course, I want to show now and let everyone see what I can do. I think the beginning was quite difficult coming in. Of course, I told a lot of times now with a lot of weight loss and stuff. Yeah. Then it was getting better, and at the end I was feeling good. I came more into the team, connected with everyone. So I'm happy to have a full preseason now. I was not there yet. I had a couple of good games, but I have to show every game. So that's the main thing.
It's something we always look at in summer windows, maybe back to January signings and think, you know, is this the time that they can really hit top form, getting a full pre-season in with the squad, with the manager? Is Nicholas Kuhn one of the players that could really benefit from that? Because he had his issues when he first came in. I think he had to get an operation or surgery on his teeth. It meant that he actually lost a lot of weight. He was having to build that then back up. It took him a bit of time to get going in a Celtic top. Is he one that Celtic fans should be expecting more from in the coming season?
Yeah, I think so, and I think he's saying there all the right things. I think he knows that. He came in, he wasn't ready to hit the ground running because of the situation with his teeth and everything, his weight loss. Any player will tell you, the pre-season under your belt, if you get a good pre-season under your belt, it sets you up for the rest of the season. It really does. It's the most important part of a season, is getting your fitness, your runs in, getting games, get the sharpness, just working with the fitness coaches as well. And I'm sure he's doing that. He's got good talent. There's no doubt. I think he could be a big, big player for Celtic. But he's got bags of competition because you've seen the form of James Forrest. Maeda's there as well, so he's got a lot of competition, but he's certainly one that will play a big part going forward for Celtic next season for me.
Well, you can give us a call, 01419511025, and I'm sure that many of you will want to call in for this, because all summer we've been playing the Pundit Predictor and we are close to it finishing up, and we need to give away this money, surely. I'm looking forward to this because it's going to be the semi-finals of Euro 2024 that you can predict now. We've still not given the money away on the Pundit Predictor with Col Robert. This is your chance to win purely by guessing the results of the next two games at Euro 2024. We used to ask you to pick three games, but that proved to be too hard because no one's won the money in a long, long time. So we've made it to the semi-finals. I don't think anyone's won in almost a month. So surely you've got the confidence that you could win this money. If you tell us the results of the next two fixtures at the 90-minute mark, then you will earn yourself £1,000. It sounds really easy, but we've had 11 wrong predictions in a row going all the way back to the 17th of June. There were still 24 teams left in the tournament at that point. You were somewhere in Germany.
Yeah.
Having a bar.
We were getting
Mark
them
Wilson.
Right in Germany.
Yep.
Me and Wilson, we were on fire. So I'll tell you what, I'm desperate to hear what the predictions are going to be tonight, because they should go with mines. I know the results.
Yeah, the two semi-finals you have to predict are tonight's game between Spain and France, tomorrow's game between the Netherlands and England, both 8 o'clock kickoffs. The added bonus will get you playing against Gordon Dalziel as well. He lost, well, a producer's doing you in here, it says on this read, he's lost 17 times on Beat the Pundit last season. Hopefully you can get two wins.
This is completely different. This isn't Beat the Pundit.
Ah, well, I think they just like trying to stick the boot in.
But you know something? What did they say? I lost 17 times?
I lost 17
right.
times on Beat the Pundit last season.
I played 46 times.
I'm amazed that you remember exactly how many you played last season. Is that right?
No, I just made that up.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. I should have guessed that right. Anyway, call now for your chance to win £1,000. You actually played 42 times.
Oh,
so
you're not lucky.
You're not far off, not far off at all. So for your chance to win £1,000 with Col Robert, it's 01419511025. We'll pick a caller at random and we'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dalziel here with me, Andrew McLean, in the studio. You're getting a bit of love on Twitter tonight. People are
love.
People are happy you're back.
My fans love me.
Andy says, good to see the Dazzler back. I've missed you, Gordon. Pozog is saying, yay, the Dazzler's back.
Thank
John
you.
Is saying, the Tango Man's back.
Tango Man's back, yes.
You've been working on that tan after Germany.
Well, the weather's been terrible. I was hoping
for
a bit.
Which makes your tan even more suspicious, I think.
Well, not at all. Obviously, Germany was quite warm at times. I'm delighted, people. I've been hanging about with the celebs just now. I'm running about with A-listers now.
Who made you new friends?
I caught up with Adam Barlow at Coronation Street. Lovely lad. Martin Compson yesterday. Terrific at the golf. Got a nice photo with him. I thank him very much. Greg football,
you need to pick that name up that you've just dropped there.
Yeah, I do like to drop names now and again. But good lads, good football lads, love their football. Great to talk to them, great to meet
Are you
them.
Trying to kid on to them that you're also an A-lister as well?
They know I'm an A-lister, they know everything.
I can imagine you try and carry yourself as an A-lister, does it work?
They wanted selfies with me, let me tell you.
Or were you making up reasons to get photos with them so that you could post them on your Instagram?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's exactly what you did.
I had to use my daughter and say, my daughter loves you, can I get a wee photo? My daughter doesn't even know who they are.
And then you posted them on Instagram that's the ruse completely over.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Nothing up with that, Andrew.
There we go. There's your tips anyway if you need some sneaky photos with people. Right, let's get back to this because it has been a while. We've teamed up with Col Robert for our Pundit Predictor. We want you to predict the results over 90 minutes in the next two games at the Euros. We don't need the score. We don't need the winner of the final. We just need the two results of the semi-finals at 90 minutes. The two games tonight that we're picking, Spain against France, which is the 8 o'clock kickoff tonight, Netherlands against England tomorrow at 8 o'clock. On the line is Rosie in Dunbreck. Rosie, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks.
Good stuff, good stuff. Let's get into the predictions. How are you feeling? Are you feeling confident? Because we need someone to win this money, surely.
That's why I've waited to the end.
See, that's the smart play, actually. Yeah. That is the smart play. Yeah.
And it's £1,000.
£1,000. Come on, Rosie. And that's it. It's only two games. It's only two games. Previously, it's been three, but it's only two games. So to get the money, all you need to do, result after 90 minutes, not after extra time. We don't need any talk about penalties, just the result at 90 minutes. Rosie, Spain against France. Who's going to win that? Or is it going to be a draw? Spain, going for Spain?
Yeah.
They have looked good, haven't they?
Spain are terrific.
Yeah.
Got to
say. They've been doing well.
And then the following night, Netherlands against England.
See, I thought a draw, right, but I'm sticking to Netherlands.
Right, okay. Is that heart over head, or is that just you're going for logic?
You change your mind, but I'm trying not to.
Right, okay. You've gone for Spain and you've gone for Netherlands. There we go. Yeah. Right, we'll see. Gordon Dale, what are you fancying out of those?
I'm going with Spain, with Rosie. I think they're the best team in the tournament. So I think they'll win. I don't know if it'll be a cracking game, but I think they'll win. And obviously, England, I think, will win after extra time or penalties.
Right, so you're going for a draw in that one then. So you're going slightly different from Rosie, Spain, and then
the draw.
A draw. Yeah, because it's interesting, because Spain have looked very good. France are always...
difficult.
Always do well in major tournaments, don't necessarily play that well. England haven't really played well at all, but are still in the semi-finals. Netherlands have looked all right at times, maybe not been one of the best sides, but are in the final four. So we will see. That is what Gordon Dalziel has gone for, but more importantly, that is what Rosie has gone for. Good luck. We will find out. Well, we'll find out tomorrow, but really, we will speak about it on the show on Thursday. And if you do win that £1,000, it's all thanks to Col Robert. So good luck, Rosie.
Thank you.
Excellent. Hopefully that money gets won. And the money will, no matter what you've predicted, it will not be going in your pocket, Gordon.
No. Well, that's unfortunate. But I hope Rosie does win it. I really do. Especially with the England result, because I've got a funny feeling, like most people in our country, that these guys are going to get to the final.
Yeah, because they have. I mean, it's Rich coming from someone from Scotland. They've been a tough watch at times, haven't they? But we were much better, weren't we?
No.
Have you watched much of the Euros at all since you got back?
No, it's actually a lot of the games have bored me. I went out on Saturday with a few friends to watch the England game at 5 o'clock, and the only bit of action I seen was I was sitting next to somebody in the train on the way home, and they had their phone out, and I watched the penalty kicks. That's the only kick of the ball I seen.
Wait, I thought you said you went out to watch the game and you didn't see a single second of it, and then left before the game had even finished.
I would left before the game was finished. Never even seen one ball getting kicked.
It's a pretty early train home for a Saturday night out, is it not?
Well, I went out at 2:07. I'm not a young whippersnapper anymore. I've got to get myself home at a nice early time, Andrew.
Yeah, that is... okay, that's fair. That's sensible.
Sensible. Very sensible.
Have you been sensible since you came back from Germany?
Yes, I have. I've not had the usual situation that Wilson and I had on the train going to... was it Cologne?
Yeah.
If I remember right. Mm-hmm. I've not nearly blown up hotels as well. it's been very, very quiet and civilised.
Are you reflecting on your time in Germany?
Terrible.
Yeah?
Terrible. It took me a full 10 days to get over it.
We've not seen you. You've been...
Oh, no. I decided I ain't going near Radio Clyde for 10 days. I just had enough. I had enough of Wilson. I had enough of you guys.
Check how ungrateful this guy is.
I could.
The money spent to send him out to Germany to go and cover a major tournament, spend some time with us out there, and this is it. I can't see any of you again.
People think you go out there for a jolly. Let me tell you, it was one of the hardest working trips I've ever had. We were non-stop. I was doing over 20,000 steps a day. It was incredible. You're not going back to your hotel late in the morning, and then you're up again and you're away again. Look, I really loved the experience. I loved seeing the fans. I thought they were absolutely magnificent. And, you know, the characters that we met along the way, that was worth the trip alone. The football, obviously, on the other hand, wasn't. But... yes, I enjoyed my time, but I'm delighted to be back home resting.
I do wonder whether that just sounds like a guy that's never previously worked a full day in his life is now complaining about the fact that he had to do a bit of work when he was over there.
Let me just say, if they'd have shown me the schedule of my work schedule over there, I wouldn't have been on that plane. It was a bit much for me, I've got to say that.
Tell you what, it was good content though. Lots of good video content, lots of good on-air content. I certainly did enjoy myself. I did see another story today that intrigued me. I can't say I've been watching it, but there is a guy going into Love Island that previously played for Peterhead and Dumbarton.
Well,
Josh Oyensan. And it made me think, See if it was about when you were a player and you were in your early mid 20s. Would you have been prime candidate for that?
100%. I'd have loved it. Look, I don't really watch Love Island, right? I'm a bit too old for that. But what I've heard of it and what I've seen, the small clips of it, I would have been standing at the door of my suitcase, chapping the door.
I also have a feeling that when you got back from Love Island, whatever club that you were at that point would have immediately disowned you for whatever behaviour that you would have been getting up to in that villa.
Yeah, I don't know how long it lasted, but I think you're right there. I think I would have been disowned by a lot of my fellow teammates in the club.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal at all. Just in terms of the competitive action back this weekend, looking forward to it. I know a few teams have friendlies tonight. Motherwell have a friendly tonight. They're away to Linlithgow Rose. Hibs have a friendly tonight as well. The final preparations ahead of, because they do come around very early as well. Teams will still be trying to get some business done before those games this weekend.
I'm looking forward to going and watching one or two games just to see the squad, see the change, see if the style of football, for instance. I'll be going to Motherwell Fir Park Saturday, FC Edinburgh, they play.
Back to Edinburgh City again.
Is it?
Yeah. Over
sure?
A year ago, yep.
Okay, well, on my notes, it was FC Edinburgh, so whoever's put that down is wrong. But I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, Motherwell losing their goalkeeper, brought one or two new faces in. I know they've had a few injuries in the pre-season, but I'll be up there, and then obviously over the time, the next few weeks, I'll be popping in to see other teams just to get a wee flavour of what's going to happen.
I'm sure you've really been keeping up to date with the complexities of Motherwell's potential US takeover as well, the ins and outs of it, the statements back and forward. You've been sitting there reading them in full detail.
Funny enough, I had a look at it today. I just wonder how it's going to go and how it's all going to plan out. You know, any investment into a club like Motherwell's good, but it's got to be right for the fans as well.
Yeah, because there is a vote ongoing. There's also been a takeover at St Johnstone as well, an American owner that's taking over from Jeff Brown. Certainly seems to be making all the right noises as well. And he's gone in with a clear plan. He's put, you know, a full statement out. I believe he's speaking to the media tomorrow morning for the first time. So I suppose when it comes down to that, it's all about transparency with new owners and connecting with the support.
That's the most important thing. If you get new owners, it's got to be in the right terms of how they're going to take the club forward, how they're going to improve the club. That's what the fans want to hear, Andrew. They want to see investment. We know that Motherwell's and St Johnstone's aren't going to get multi-million pounds getting put in, but at least there's money there to get them moving forward, to try and improve their squads, make them better teams. So it'll be interesting in the coming weeks to see how that develops.
No idea how he transitioned from Love Island into that very quickly, but you know what? We've done it. The show is just about over. I'll be back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock with Jim Duffy. Thank you very much for phoning in. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you to Gordon DL in the studio as well. Remember, you can listen back wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch back on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter by searching Clyde1SSB. And stay right there. It's Callum Gallagher that's on the way next.